praying and taking a look further in our series called Summer Road Trip, where we've been looking at the call and of evangelism, the importance of reaching out to others with the message of Jesus Christ. And so I want to share just a few things with you this morning, if I could. You know, according to a 2018 survey conducted by Barna Research, that a growing number of Christians don't see sharing the good news of Jesus as a personal responsibility. In fact, not only that, but only 3 in 10 Christians who've had a conversion of faith in Jesus Christ say that evangelism is the local church's responsibility. Only 3 out of 10 people see the church's responsibility is to share the good news of Jesus. And that's 30% of people, 3 out of 10, less than 30%. And, you know, Matthew chapter 28 is the biblical passage that is commonly referred to as what? The Great Commission. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. You know, and that's what we know in the Christian circles, Christian world, as the Great Commission. Ironically, surprisingly enough, a large portion of church-going Christians in the United States are unaware with these famous words of Jesus. They don't know them. They don't know that they exist. And that's troublesome. That's a troublesome report when you consider that there is one statistic that has remained intact over decades of history, and that one statistic is this. It's relatively the same. It never really changes. And that's 75 to 90% of those who came to faith in Jesus Christ did so through the influence and conversation of a friend or a relative. That's how they came to faith. 75 to 95% of those who came to faith in Jesus Christ did so through the influence of a friend or a family member. And so God intends for his good news message of Jesus. How many believe it's good news? Thank you. His good news message of eternal life and forgiveness through faith, that's to be delivered through those already existing relationships that we all each have. And yet, fewer and fewer Christians sense the responsibility to do just that. We're going to talk about that this morning, but let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, and we know that you're doing some good things in our hearts. You're doing some good things among us. We can sense it. We can feel it. You're up to something, Lord. You're up to something. And we know that whenever you're up to something, it's good. It's always good. And so, Lord, we pray that you would just work in our hearts. Help us to see that each of us, Lord, has an important role to play in seeing the kingdom of God expanded and moving forward. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we've been trying to gain a new perspective on the E word, right? Evangelism. And part of it has been gaining a new perspective of the already existing relationships that we have in our lives. And if 75 to 90% of all Christians become Christians because of the influence, the invitation of a friend or a family member, that means that we all are the missing link, right? We are the missing link. And we are the bridge that can bring people to Jesus. And you know, but here's the ironic thing, is most people are waiting for someone else to boldly share Christ and his message of life to their social network, to their social web. We're waiting for somebody else, but God is waiting for us. God is waiting on you. God is waiting on me. He's called us for this very purpose. And our social webs are like veins of gold, right? Our social networks, our relationships, that's like gold, right, for us. And there are people who know us best, right? Sometimes that's good. Sometimes that's not so good. But there are people who know us best, and there are people that see us in a variety of settings, right? And they are the ones who can see the reality of Jesus as we live our out our lives in front of them. And this is what I think. I really believe that people aren't looking for perfection in Christians. They're really not. They're not looking for perfection in Christians. What they're looking for is authenticity. They're looking for something real. They're looking for something authentic in our lives. And when we have that authentic faith in our lives, then we're gonna just spread just the fragrance of Jesus all around us. And that's what Paul said. In fact, he said it in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. He said, "But thanks be to God," right? "Who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us," everybody say through us, "spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Jesus." Yeah. And so we have that opportunity to spread Jesus around us, if you will. And so we need to value our family. Oh, man. I have to value my family? You're kidding me, right? Yes. We have to value our family, our friends, as individuals. And we can, I believe we can, and we should be consistent in our words and our actions. We should be authentic. Amen? I mean, nobody likes fake, right? Who likes fake cheese? Nobody likes fake cheese, right? I'm not gonna go there because we have some vegetarian people there. The meat belongs in a burger. That's just what I'm saying. Okay. So the question I think, and you know me, if you've been with us for any length of time, you know that I like to just throw out these introspective questions that we can ask ourselves, right? That we could take with us and put it in our back pockets and ask ourselves. And the question as we're talking today is, do I sincerely and authentically love Jesus, one, and other people, two? And do I demonstrate that love on a consistent day-by-day basis? Am I authentic in that demonstration of my love for Jesus and my love for other people? That's the question that we need to ask ourselves, is am I authentic in my love for Him, and am I authentic in my love for other people? Am I not being, I don't know where that came from, being fake cheese, you know. And so I just encourage you to take some time to define your own circle of influence, because we each have one. Those people that you know as friends and your relatives, your business partners, think about those people that you used to know and don't hang around with, or people that you would like to know, right? And then along with that, practice some what I call strategic consumerism, where you go to the same stores and deliberately develop relationships with the same workers at those stores. Spread the love of Christ to those people. Let me share a scripture with you from 1 Peter. It says that you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His wonderful light. So the Bible says that we're a kingdom of priests, right? We're bridge builders. And that's what a priest did in the Old Testament. They bridged, you know, people to God, right? They were the bridge to, you know, for people to get to God. And we're bridge builders for people, and you know, we're to point our friends and our family to Jesus. And you know, a simple way that we can be a bridge builder is just being an inviter. It's just to be an inviter. Invite them to worship services. Invite them to small groups. Invite them to events that take place at our church. Just invite them to come along and help at our block party, right? They don't even have to belong to the Vineyard, right? Just invite them. We need help, right? So, you know, evangelism experts say that you and I have 7 invitations in our bank. 7 times that you can invite a person to any kind of Christian service or event. 7, you only get 7 invitations, right, in that bank account. And so the best strategy is to spread those invitations out over time, right? I mean, you're not going to invite somebody 7 times in 1 week. They're like, no, I don't want to go. For the 7th time. Spread those out, right? You spread those out over time. But you only get 7. You know, they say you only get 7 invitations. And then, you know, move on, you know, if they've said no. But what if they say yes? You know, it's a likelihood that some will, right? Say yes. And so, you know, we are bridge builders. Just say, I'm a bridge builder. And say it like you authentically mean it. If you remember, we started our series by saying that churches tend to adopt a come and see, right, approach when it comes to sharing our faith. We just like, well, if you just get them here, then the preacher will take over and you don't have to do anything. You know, or we develop a finely tuned service, invite them, they'll come to Jesus. And, you know, that's one strategy in reaching people for Christ. You know, we are, as individuals, called to be inviters and includers, aren't we? We are. It's part of our job. But I'm going to suggest that yet, and this is what I really want to talk about, is just another strategy of evangelism, that we are to be infiltrators. Now, the word infiltrate is an interesting word. You might tend to view that word as aggressive or even a subversive word, right? We're going to infiltrate. The enemies can't. Well, in a sense, we are, right? But it belongs to with words like mix, season, mingle, associate with, right? And the Holy Spirit wants to equip and empower us with His gifts and His boldness and courage. And then He wants to send us out to mingle with and associate with and mix it up with people who don't know Him. We're to mix it up with people, you know, who don't know Him. And so this morning I thought what we'd do is make some more declarations today. We're going to make some more declarations. And these are going to serve as reminders that not only are we inviters and includers, but that we are also infiltrators in the world in which we live in. We're supposed to be not of the world, but we're in it, right? We're all in the world. We live in the world every day, and there's people all around us who don't believe in Christ as Savior. And so we want to be mixers, minglers, right? Some of you are looking at me like, what are you talking about? So, first declaration is this. You knew the drill last. If you're here last week, we did the same thing. So, the first declaration that we want to say together is, the Spirit opens up doors for witnessing. Say that again. The Spirit. Now, the Apostle Paul, he said something really interesting to the Colossians. He said this, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. This was Paul's prayer, or he was request, actually. It was a prayer request to the Christians in Colossae. And God sets up, I believe, for each one of us, divine appointments or encounters, meetings with other people that he has ordained to demonstrate the reality of his presence and his power. I believe that. And so that's why it's so important to keep close to Jesus and keep in step with the Spirit, as the Bible says. And the Lord will help us to know when to give people more space and when to press in. Use one of your invitations out of the bank. Press in. And so I believe that we are given opportunities to share the gospel we're given those opportunities by God on a regular basis. The question is, are we in tune enough with God to know what those are and to see them? And so let me just give you an example from Scripture, the Scripture we just shared. You know, when Paul asked the Colossian Christians to pray for an open door for him to share the message of Jesus, he was in prison. He was locked up, chained up in prison. And being in prison would cause many people to become bitter or to be depressed and just to give up, wouldn't it? But Paul saw it as one more opportunity to spread the good news of Jesus. He just saw it as an opportunity. And so for Paul, he realized that his current circumstances weren't as important as what he did with them. Whoa, that's important. I want to say that again. You need to listen to that. For Paul, his current circumstances weren't as important as what he did with those circumstances. And so he turned a bad situation into a good one. And he reached out to the Roman soldiers who made up the palace guard. And he encouraged those Christians who were afraid of persecution. And he used it as an opportunity for the glory of God. And so, you may not be in prison. Obviously, you're not in prison. Anybody have a bracelet on their ankle? I'm just kidding. That's probably inappropriate. Scratch that. Yeah. But you may... you may not be in prison, but you still have plenty of moments where you're discouraged, don't you? Huh? Times of indecision, financial burdens, family conflicts, maybe church conflicts with another person in the church, loss of a job, issues with your children, adult or younger children, doesn't matter. And we can use those life circumstances to dig down in our faith a little bit deeper, right? And demonstrate your trust in God to others around you. Demonstrate your trust in God to others around you. Dig a little deeper. Use that opportunity. Use that struggle. Use that that circumstance that you'd rather be out of, that you'd rather, you know, forget about. Use that circumstance to dig a little deeper in your faith to show others the love of God, and that you can trust God. Amen? So, our prayer is this. Long way around to say this. Our prayer is this. God, open up a door no matter what circumstances I find myself in. If I'm healthy and things are going well, open up a door. If I'm in the midst of a struggle, open up the door that I might be able to point someone toward Jesus. It doesn't matter what circumstances you're in. The prayer should always be, God, open up a door. Open up a door. Just turn to somebody and say, God, open up a door. Yeah. So, the Spirit opens up doors for witnessing. Number two, let's say this together. The Spirit gives me His words to say. The Spirit gives me His words to say. Now, one scripture that backs this up, don't turn there, just listen. It's the Gospel of Matthew. It might be up there. It's very short. Jesus said to His disciples, when they arrest you, don't worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. That's from Jesus. and this is something that people say a lot, don't they? I don't know what to say to people. It's the biggest reason that people don't open their mouths to let anybody know about their faith, right? Because they always, I don't know what to say to people. So this doesn't let you off the hook. Jesus doesn't let you off the hook, right? He says, don't worry about what to say. Don't worry about how to say it, right? At that time, in the moment, I'll give you words to say. I'll tell you what to say. And so, you know, Jesus, essentially, He's instructing His disciples, when you represent me in the world, don't worry about what to say and how to say it. In the moment of opportunity, Jesus would tell each and every one of us, in the moment of opportunity, I will give you just the right words that will cause a person to consider that there is a God. Or cause them to see their need of Jesus. Or start investigating even how they can have a relationship with God. Maybe all you're doing is saying words in the moment that will put the seed of the Word of God in their heart and in their mind, and they begin to wonder, maybe there is a God. Maybe He does have a life for me. Maybe he does have a plan for me. And so the Spirit of God gives us words to say. Amen? Number three, the Spirit releases boldness in me. Let's say it again. The Spirit releases, I like that, boldness in me. Yeah. It takes courage, doesn't it, from God to walk through the doors that God opens. It takes a lot of courage. Timidity rules us, doesn't it, often. Fear can paralyze us. I know there's so many times in my life that fear has literally paralyzed me. Not literally. Felt like it. But the Spirit breaks those things off of us and gives us His courage. And all I want to say here is some of you need timidity and fear broken off of you today. And I'm going to invite you to later to come and ask for that. Just ask God to do that. Just break timidity off of me, God. Amen? The Spirit releases boldness in me. And these are some good declarations. The Spirit gives me words to say. The Spirit releases boldness in me. He gives me opportunities, open doors. And number four, the Spirit works signs through us that point to Jesus. Now, Acts chapter 14, verse 3, it says these words. It says, at Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went as usual into the Jewish synagogue, and there they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Gentiles believed. But some Jews refused to believe, and they stirred up the Gentiles, and they poisoned their minds against the brothers. Poisoned their minds. And so Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there speaking boldly for the Lord. Speaking boldly for the Lord. And it says, and the Lord confirmed the message of His grace by enabling them to do miracles, miraculous signs, and wonders. And so the Word of God is, how many know the Word of God is powerful in and of itself? The Scriptures are powerful just in and of themselves, right? But when God is bearing witness from heaven with signs and wonders, that's the ultimate witness. The Word and His power together, it's like an explosion of ministry. And so the Word and His wonderful works together is a powerful punch. And that's what we need. Amen? And so I'm going to just say this as well. And some of you have a prophetic gift that needs ramped up so you can use some to win to the Lord. You need it ramped up. Or some of you have been used by God in the past to pray for someone, and the Lord actually touched them and healed them physically, but that hasn't happened in a while for you. I'm going to invite you as well at the end of our time to ask God to empower you so that works can accompany your verbal witness. Because, you know, it's one thing for someone to hear, God sent, Jesus into the world to become our Savior. He died sacrificially, right? To extend his love and forgiveness so you can be right with God and have your sins forgiven and all those things. It's one thing for people to hear those things, but it's another if you offer to pray for them, all right, and they have a bad back and their back is healed. Now they're listening, right? Now they're listening. Right, and so the Spirit, we need that. We need an accompaniment of the power of God in our lives. Say yes, Lord. Number five, the Spirit brings conviction to the lost. The Spirit brings conviction to the lost. Now, these two things, and we're almost finished, these couple things are so important. I think they're so important because we just take on so much responsibility in our lives for something that we shouldn't. Jesus told the disciples, I tell you the truth, John 14:16, it's for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you, but if I go, I'll send him to you. And when he comes, he'll convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. All right? Who's going to convict the world? The Spirit of God is. When we try to bring conviction ourselves, it only comes across as condemnation and judgment. It can only come across in that way, condemnation and judgment. And when we try to do the Holy Spirit's job, the only thing that we come across as is a snooty, condescending religious person. And you don't want that, and neither do I. And so it's the Spirit of God that brings awareness of sin to a person. I want to say it again. It's the Spirit of God who brings awareness of sin to a person. It's God who lets the person know that they are far from Him, not us. That their lives are broken. That they need Jesus to save them. That they need Him to make them into a new person. That's God's job. All we got to do is just share what God has offered. We're all broken, right? I mean, each of us, we're all broken. So it's not like, we have one up. We're on the same playing field, Just that we've received grace. And so the Spirit brings conviction to the lost. And I can sense right now that some of you are like, oh man, there's like something's coming off, just like a weight off your shoulders. Right? It's just like, whew. It's the Spirit of God that brings conviction to the lost. Amen? Number six, the Spirit powerfully saves people. Oh, come on. The Spirit powerfully saves people. We can't save anyone. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. So God, He saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. How are we saved? We're saved by the mercy of God. The mercy of God. Not what we do, but the mercy of God. The Spirit is the one. And so our only responsibility is to present ourselves as a credible witness of the saving power and the love of Jesus. Amen. Now, one more thing One more declaration and then I'll close it up here. The Spirit, number 7, let's do it again. The Spirit anoints me with all that's needed to partner with Jesus in his ongoing ministry. Say this with me. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed. That's the mission statement of Jesus at the beginning of his ministry. That was his mission statement. And he has given us that same mission statement. We have the same mission statement. God has given us everything we need to partner with him. Now, I want to finish with a fairly long quote from the late John Wimber, founder of the Vineyard Movement. It's a wonderful quote. It was spoken many, many years ago, but still applicable, I believe, today. He preached it in the Holy Trinity Brompton Church in England. I believe it was 1995. But these are the words that he says. Listen to these words. Disciples are learning to become like Jesus in both word and works. God's goal for you when you came to Jesus was more than a little insurance for a later life. It was for a revolutionary experience today that would alter the course of society toward destruction. To call men and women to Christ, to change their inner being, the way they think, the way they live, the way they breathe, the way they interrelate with one another. And God has made a powerful package when he redeems you out of darkness and brings you into the light and fills you with his Spirit and fills you with his understanding and his teaching and fills you with his presence and addresses you and blesses you and goes with you in every circumstance and situation. And then this is what he says. And most of you are living as if none of that is true throughout the week. And then he went on to say, and you're the best there is. Monday through Saturday, he says, I dare say most of you, most of the time in business interface, walk around as though, just don't hate me, I'm a Christian. And he says that he ends with this. He says, folks, do you understand what a powerful dynamic force has gripped you? Do you understand the God you serve? Do you understand the power that's at your fingertips, at your beckoning? You can change the course of people's lives. Not only are we to be inviters and includers, but God has called us to be mixers and minglers and infiltrators, to go out into the world, not be of it, not let the world influence us, but we are to be the influencers of God's love, his kindness, his goodness, his grace to others as we're out in the world. How many say amen to that? Amen. Amen. Let's stand. Let's not worry about the time. Let's just invite the Holy Spirit to come and work in our hearts. Holy Spirit, we just invite you to help us to respond. Lord, for so many, it is such a scary endeavor to try to be an authentic witness to other people. And And sometimes we forget that all the resources that we have in you, the power that you've given us, and the presence of God that you've given us, and even the words, God, that you want to give us. God, we forget about all the resources that we have in you. And we let our lives be gripped by fear and backwardness and timidity. So I just want to make that a point of prayer today. If timidity and fear controls your life, if it keeps you from being more vocal in your faith for Jesus, or maybe just fear controls your life in general, right? That just you just walk in fear all the time. I just invite you to come up on my left here, and we'll have some of our prayer team pray with you. If just you don't want to be walk in fear. You want fear to be just like taken off of your life. I just invite you to come to the front. We'll pray with you. All right. So just come. All right. Just come. Don't you're thinking I need fear broken off my life. It just keeps me from so much, particularly witnessing to other people. I just invite you to come right now. Don't hesitate. All right. Just come. Fear. You don't want fear anymore in your life. Yeah. Yep. There's more. You want timidity broken off of your life. These are just some people, a prayer. Some prayer folks begin to pray for those up here. Some of you prayer, we're going to share some other things that we believe the Lord's doing in our hearts right now. So if you want better eyes for some divine appointments and God encounters, that you know that you want God to set up some things on a daily basis and weekly basis, you really want God to show you who you're to encounter, right? You want some divine appointments. I just invite you to come right in front of me. We'll have some people pray with you, right? You want better eyes to see the divine appointments that God has for your life. All right? There's one. Yeah, right here. So we need some prayer people over here. Mark. Ian. Yeah. And the third thing, I think a point of prayer is that you really, you want God to lead you into a greater power evangelism, you know, where you pray for others and something actually happens, right? Their circumstances change, they do get healed, something like of that nature, but you want God's power to accompany the things that you say to people about Jesus. And you really need some powerful gifts. I just invite you to come over here to my right, and I'll pray for you, all right? Some gifts, some power gifts, all right? Yeah? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Whoa. Okay. All right. So this is what we're going to do this morning. All right. It's 11 o'clock. We're going to continue to pray, all right, for those that are up here. But I just want to encourage you before I continue to pray for these. But I just want to encourage you. Be a mingler. Be a mixer. Think about your circle of influence. Friends, family members, people that you connect with on a daily basis, right? And just ask, well, Lord, would you provide a moment and then give me some words to say, right? Let that be your prayer as you go today, as I bless you and you go. Let that be your prayer throughout the week. God, give me a moment and then give me the words to say to them. that would open their hearts to God. Amen? All right. Be blessed. Have a great day. It's been a good day, hasn't it? Amen. Amen. Amen.